Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschel in another Dr. Christian story called Washington Had His Delaware, brought to you by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. Here's a message to Mrs. America about a very important personal problem, the state of Mr. America's scalp and hair. If you find yourself brushing dandruff scales off his collar, or if his hair seems stiff and dry and won't stay in place, then watch out. These are the danger signs of dry scalp. Do you know any man who has these symptoms? Do him this favor. Tell him about Vaseline Hair Tonic. Or better yet, buy a bottle for him and get him started with it right away. Vaseline Hair Tonic is different and especially good for dry scalp. It supplements the scalp's own oils and gives the hair a natural, well-groomed look. And the treatment is so easy. Just a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic rubbed on every morning and a thorough Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo. Yes, Vaseline Hair Tonic does the trick the way he wants it done. It comes in convenient shaker top bottles at 40 and 70 cents. Our play begins late one afternoon in a little cottage across the railroad tracks where Dr. Christian is calling on Mary Ann Smithers. Mary Ann is only 17, but she and Dan Smithers were married more than a year ago. And now?
And I want you to come to see me regularly from now on, Mary Ann. Remember, it's very important.
Oh, but, Dr. Christian, how can I when I don't know where the money's coming from to pay you?
Oh, that's my worry, not yours. Your job is to keep as well and as cheerful as you can for the next few weeks. Then after the baby's here and you're strong again, we can talk about bills.
But it might be more than we could ever pay.
I've never yet charged a patient more than he could pay, Mary Ann. I'm certainly not going to start with you.
But, Dr. Christian, you don't understand. Dan's working now, but it's only part-time. Oh, you know how things are at the factory. He's likely to get laid off any minute.
And he's just as likely to begin working full-time any minute, too. Mary Ann, you and Dan are very young. You're smart and ambitious. You have your whole life ahead of you. You and your baby. Why, Mary Ann, I'm surprised at you. What are those tears for?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just can't help it. Everything's so terrible.
Terrible? Why, Mary Ann, you told me you and Dan wanted this baby.
Oh, we do. Honest, we do. Only...
Only what?
Oh, Dr. Christian, Dan's changed.
Changed? You mean he doesn't want...
No, I guess he still wants us to have the baby all right, but... Oh, he's been listening to things. Folks have been talking to him, and he says now we shouldn't have children we can't support. He says a man hasn't a chance anymore, and it's the government's fault.
Who talks to him like that?
Oh, he hears it at the meetings they have down in Briggs Hall every night. There are some men here from out of town. Oh, the leader's named Meggs. And they just stir everybody up, Dr. Christian. They keep telling the boys they aren't getting a chance, that the old ideas are out and the world's got to be made over. Things like that. I hear Dan and my brother Curly talking after they come home.
Curly lives here with you?
Yes. Mm. Oh, he's a nice kid, but he's only 16. And you see, Dr. Christian, he doesn't know any better. Dan and Curly act as though this man Meggs was some sort of a hero.
Mm. Young men of that age usually do have one.
Well, he shouldn't have Meggs. You see, Doctor, when Dan and I got married, he was earning good money and everything looked fine. And then... things got bad, and they started laying men off.
Yes, lots of places I've had a hard time to keep open, but they agreed to keep things going so that there'd be at least some work.
I know. At first, Dan thought they were being awfully fair. We used to plan how to get along on half wages till things were better. And Dan figured out all sorts of ways of making extra money.
That's the spirit.
But he don't do it anymore, Dr. Christian. Sometimes he frightens me. He's so... so bitter. And he won't talk to me about things anymore. It's all because of those meetings. I know it is.
What makes you think that?
Well, Dan never says anything, but Mrs. Harris told me they've been trying to get some of the boys to just quit and go to Chicago with them.
What for?
Nobody seems sure. Mrs. Harris thinks they're just out-and-out gangsters. But, well, how could she know? Anyhow, they keep after the boys all the time, telling them what fools they are to stay here and only work part-time and get such poor pay and...
And the boys believe it?
Some of them do. Why, Mrs. Harris said that six of the regular crew that used to board at her house quit and went away somewhere last week.
I'm glad you told me about it, Marianne.
You see, I don't mind being so poor now. Why, Dan's going to be somebody someday. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a factory of his own or anything.
Hmm.
You know, Dan ain't just common. He's proud, Dan is. Why, he told me once he hoped the baby'd be a boy to sort of, well, carry on the family for him and...
Yes.
Oh, I'm awfully scared. Dan isn't bad. You know that. He never did a wrong thing in his life, but when I think how he used to be, believing in everything and happy, and then listen to him now.
Oh, young fellows are likely to get funny ideas sometime, Marianne. I know. I was pretty wild myself once.
You?
Oh, yes, I was. You see, Marianne, there's a time in a young man's life when he's sure he's been selected to battle the world alone and single-handed. He's just got to fight, and if you don't give him something worthwhile to fight for, why, the chances are he'll start fighting against the first thing that comes along.
Oh, Dr. Christian, maybe that's what's happened to Dan. It makes him awful mad when I beg him not to go to those meetings, but Dr. Christian, he don't belong there.
Marianne, will you make me a promise?
I'll try.
Promise me you'll stop worrying about all this.
Oh, but I know,
but when you argue with Dan, it just makes it worse.
Why should it, if he loves me?
Because through circumstances which he himself couldn't help, Dan's income has been cut in half. Well, it makes him feel inferior, cheap. Right now, when he particularly wants to be taken good care of you, he feels that in your eyes he's a failure.
Oh, he's not.
I know. But I'm telling you how he feels. That's why he goes to those meetings and talks loud. We've got to find some way of giving him some real importance again.
Oh, if he'd only get his job back.
That would help. But I'd like to make Dan so sure of himself he could lose any job without its affecting his faith in himself. Let me think about it, Marianne. In the meantime, take good care of yourself.
I'll try.
Come in the office next week. Well, I'll be running along.
Oh, listen. Who's that?
It sounded like the front door. I'll see.
Dan, what's the matter? Are you sick?
Yeah, I'm sick, all right.
Well, what is it? Is it your cold?
No, it isn't my cold.
Well, you've got a doctor right here. Let me prescribe for you.
I haven't got anything you can cure, Dr. Christian.
Oh, but Danny, what is it?
Oh, forget it. Sorry to come busting in here this way. Didn't know you were here, Doc. Well, I'm sort of upset.
I stopped to see Marianne. See, she hasn't been coming to my office as you promised, so I came to see...
Well, she won't be coming anymore either, so I'm afraid you've wasted your time.
Oh, no, Dan.
Do I understand you're discharging me from the case?
Sure. That's what I'm doing, Doc. Firing you.
Oh, but Dan, why...
Why? Because we don't accept charity, that's why. Because I can't afford to pay you enough to take care of my wife. To bring my kid into the world. Because we live in a country where a fella can't be straight and earn a decent living. And so I'm broke. Do you get it? Flat, stony, broke. I haven't got a plug nickel in the world, and I just got fired.
Dr. Christian, but I think it's a dangerous experiment.
It's a very dangerous situation, John.
I realize that. That whole gang that hangs around Briggs Hall is a bad element. For the safety of River's End, it should be broken up.
That's what I expect to do with it.
Yeah, but Dr. Christian, we've got reason to believe that the men who are holding these meetings are preying on the discontent of youngsters who are out of work to recruit them into a life of crime.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, and you talk about putting these young toughs into a pageant. Well, you might as well go out to meet a roaring lion with a lollipop.
Oh, I wonder if anyone has ever tried that. You know, it just might work.
Well, I'm afraid somebody else will have to try it first. You know, I don't like lions. As mayor of River's End, I don't feel we ought to turn them loose in our streets.
I'll keep them off the streets, Mayo. I promise you. Seriously, John, I need your support in this. I want to make the George Washington birthday pageant something Riverside will always remember.
Oh, but you can't do it. People simply will not get excited about patriotic celebrations these days.
That's because they aren't handled right. John, a double-sized dose of good old-fashioned patriotism is just what this town needs.
Well, I'm afraid I don't see it. There's too much real trouble in the world these days for anybody to care much about Washington crossing the Delaware.
They might care if they realized what he stood for.
What do you mean?
I mean that too many people don't know the first thing about our own country, or what it cost. We've been brought up to think of Washington crossing the Delaware as if he was going to a picnic. In school, all we got was a story about the wonderful success of our valiant forefathers. You would think all the colonies ever had to do was say, boo to England.
Now, don't go attacking our ancestors.
Attacking them? I want to glorify them. But I want to tell the truth about them. I want to tell the story as it really happened, about the hardship, the defeats, the absolute despair. Washington fighting the British, trying to recruit and maintain an army. A weary, discouraged man with a shilly-shally in Congress, which was afraid to call its soul its own. I want to show men who think things are dark and discouraging today what went into the founding of this country of ours.
Well, Dr. Christian, I
think it's time we stop complaining about life isn't as soft as we'd like to have it. It wasn't soft in the winter of 1777 either. Men were cold and hungry. They thought they were licked, that the stand of independence had come to nothing. But they went on fighting just the same.
Yeah. You're right, of course.
Well, there's a lesson in it. If we can get those youngsters to see it. I'm going down and talk to Dan Smithers.
Dan Smithers? Why, he's the worst of the lot. He and Curly Myers, they hang around all the time with that man Meggs.
I know. That's why I think it's time to give them a new hero. I've got a theory about it, John.
Well, you usually know what you're doing. I'll help you organize this pageant, but... Dr. Christian, just where does Dan Smithers fit into this picture?
Dan? Oh, he's going to play George Washington.
And so the curtain comes down on the first act of our Dr. Christian drama, Washington Had His Delaware. During intermission, we want you to hear what this young housewife has to say.
I do my own housework, and I enjoy it. But I must say that dishwashing 3 times a day is one of the easiest ways to get rough, chapped hands. Mine got so sore, I asked my druggist what a housewife could do about it. He said, Mrs. Wells, I'll solve that problem of yours for just 10 cents. And he handed me a jar of Vaseline jelly. Well, it simply does wonders. The soreness and roughness have disappeared, and the little cracked places healed rapidly. Yes, the 10 cents I paid for that jar of Vaseline jelly was a sound investment.
There are 3 good reasons why Vaseline jelly is so effective in relieving irritated skin conditions. First, it is absolutely pure and free from all harsh or irritating ingredients. Second, it forms a protective film which helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. And finally, it soothes, softens, and lubricates the irritated skin by supplementing the natural skin oils. So follow the example of millions of families who keep Vaseline jelly always on hand for daily use and for first aid. Act 2 of Gene Herschel's Dr. Christian story. The scene is the high school auditorium where preparations for the pageant have been busily going forward. We look in on a quiet corner of the stage.
Diane doesn't mind because you're away so much for rehearsals. Does she, Dan?
No, she's all excited about this. She's coming to the show. And, well, the money you're paying me helps a lot just now, Doc. I don't see how what I'm doing is worth it, but...
You've been splendid with the younger boys, Dan. I think this pageant is going to be very important to River's End, and I couldn't have managed it without you. Now, shall we run through this scene of yours again?
Okay. Good. Just wait till I take another look at my lines. You know, Dr. Christian, it's funny. A few weeks ago, I'd have said there wasn't anything in the world could make me get mixed up in a thing like this. A show with costumes.
Oh, you mean you never wanted to be an actor?
Oh, it wasn't only that. It was all this patriotic stuff. I always thought it was a lot of baloney. Drummer boys and Liberty Bells and Washington crossing a river standing up in a rowboat.
Oh?
I was pretty sore at America. But I've learned a lot about this country I never knew before.
Didn't you study history in school?
Oh, sure, but... Well, do you know, Doc, till I began to learn this part, I never thought George Washington was a real man.
Didn't you?
No. I thought he was just sort of, well, sort of a stuffed shirt.
Face on a postage stamp, eh?
Yeah. Gee. Now when I look at what he had to put up with, well, knowing all those things makes you feel different, don't it? About the United States and governments and everything. When you figure how hard it was to get it started, and what we went through to get free.
There's no other freedom in the world like our American freedom, Dan. It's a good thing for us all to remember when things doesn't go just the way we want them to.
Yeah, I suppose.
All of us like to talk about our sacred heritage of liberty. But if you're hungry and out of work, it doesn't seem to mean much. Just a lot of words.
Uh-huh. I know.
But there are some places where you can be hungry all your life and never have a chance to do anything about it. It's not like that here. Liberty in America means the right to have a chance to use the stuff that's in you to get somewhere. It means the right to think no as well as yes. It means the right to use your brains if you have them, to be somebody, to do things for yourself, Marianne, and this baby of yours. When you think of it in that way, it begins to get important, worth holding on to, putting up a fight for, just the way Washington and his men fought, even when they were cold and starving and sure they were defeated. It's a lot bigger than any personal problem, Sam. It's the biggest thing in life.
Yeah. Well, let's do the scene.
All right. Now, let's begin where Washington is dictating his report on the Battle of Princeton. Now, think about this, won't you, Dan? You're George Washington. You're responsible for the lives of the entire American army. You set out to build a new nation. Your men are half-frozen, starved, out there in the dark. You know your forces are greatly outnumbered. You're desperate for yourself, for your army, for your country. But you're a man, not a quitter. You don't squeal or resort to underhand methods when fate seems against you. You don't rave to Congress about your hardship. Now, you sit at your desk, shivering. You're dictating to a young lieutenant. Go on.
I have the honor to inform you that since the date of my last from Trenton, I have removed with the army under my command to this place. The difficulty of crossing the Delaware on account of the ice made our passage over it tedious.
Tedious? Can you tie that?
I am moving to Morristown, where I shall endeavor to put my men under the best cover I can. Hitherto, we have been without any, and many of our poor soldiers quite barefoot, and ill-clad in other respects.
Well, that's very good. What's the matter, Dan?
Oh, nothing much. I was just thinking. You know, when you come to look at it, a lot of stuff some people try to tell you today is awful on American. Gee, George Washington must have been a great guy.
I'm always a pushover for a thing like this, and then I get stage fright so bad. Oh, Joe, please don't forget to give me my cue. It comes right after the second tableau.
Relax, May, relax. I'll remember it all right. Say, where's Dr. Christian?
Well, he's putting the boys through the Declaration of Independence scene again. Just as soon as he finishes, we're going to start the dress rehearsal.
Why, this is going to be a swell pageant.
Yeah. You wouldn't think the kids up our way would go for this, would you? Oh, look, those boys haven't got the buckles on their shoes.
Well, where are they, do you know?
Well, Judy Price has got them.
Well, I'll go and call the roll and make sure everybody's here.
Okay. Oh, Dr. Christian?
Yes?
Where's Judy Price?
Oh, she'll be here in a minute. She had some work at the office.
I'll bet she'll be glad when this is over.
Well, I think we're about ready to start. Is everybody here?
Well, Joe just went to check up. Oh, no. Here he comes now.
Cast complete, Joe.
Everybody's here but Dan Smithers.
Dan? Funny, he'd be late.
Yes. Well, we can very well go ahead without him. Anybody see him?
Well, Jake Mullen said he saw him up near Briggs Hall a couple hours ago.
Briggs Hall?
Yeah, Meggs was having some sort of a meeting.
Joe, are you sure?
Well, that's what Jake said. He said Curly Myers was there and a few of the older fellas.
I see. Well, he'll probably be along any minute now. Be sure everybody else is ready.
Yes, sir. Come on now, you kids. Everybody backstage. Backstage, everybody. Come on now, move on,
eh? Well, Dr. Christian,
I thought I'd come down and have a look at your dress rehearsal. Judy tells me everything's going splendidly.
Seems to be all right, John. We've got more than half of the boys from the north side of the thing, and they're having the time of their lives.
Ah, that's fine. You know, I owe you an apology, Dr. Christian, for being so skeptical about this in the beginning. It was a great idea.
I hope so.
Hope so. There isn't any doubt about it. Everybody in town is interested in it. And you've got that gang of young hoodlums from the north side right under your thumb. Using them in the revolutionary scenes was a stroke of genius.
Was it?
Well, it's completely broken up that gang that used to hang around Briggs Hall. You know, I heard today that Megs is leaving town.
Megs? Leaving town? When is he going?
Oh, any time now. When Dan Smith has walked out on him, I guess he knew the game was up. Oh, how soon are you going to start?
Oh, right away. We're just waiting for a couple of people.
Well, if it's Judy you're waiting for, why, here she is. Hello, Judy. What kind of a leading lady are you, late for a dress rehearsal?
I'm sorry. Dr. Christian, I've got something to tell you.
Yes, Judy.
Mary Ann Smith has just sent one of the neighbor boys up to tell me that...
Yes, Judy.
That Dan didn't come home for supper.
Oh, he's probably over at the lunchroom. Send somebody
No. Over. Oh, I hate to tell you this, Dr. Christian. I didn't want to believe it, but some of the boys saw him and...
So what, Judy?
Saw Dan Smithers get on the 6 o'clock train for Chicago.
Chicago?
Yeah.
Dan? Oh, I don't believe it, Judy. Why, tonight's the dress rehearsal. Dan wouldn't go off like that.
But he has. Megs and his crowd took the train at the junction, and just as it was pulling out, the boys saw Dan run down the platform and swing onto the last coach.
Judy, were they sure?
I guess they were, Dr. Christian.
So Dan went to Chicago with Megs, after all. Oh. Well, Judy, we'll have to find a substitute, quickly.
Oh, Dr. Christian, that isn't all. Mary Ann Smithers needs you.
Needs me? Why?
She went all to pieces when she found out about Dan. You better go to her right away, Dr. Christian.
Oh, of course, Judy. Will you see?
I'll take charge here. I'll get Mary Hewitt to read the George Washington part, and I'll put him through a full rehearsal. Then we'll have to find somebody tomorrow to jump into Dan's role. We can rehearse all day tomorrow. It'll be all right.
Will it?
Of course it will. Ah, Dr. Christian, please don't look like that. It was a wonderful idea. Just because Dan Smithers is a crazy young hothead is no reason for you to blame yourself. You did everything you could.
Yes, I did everything I could. But do you know, Judy, sometimes I think I'm just an idealistic old fool. There now, Mary Ann. Just lie quiet and rest.
Dr. Christian, where's Dan?
Oh, Dan will be back. Don't you worry. I'll go to Chicago and get him myself if I have to.
But how could he go that way?
Now, you've been very brave, Mary Ann. You've got to keep right on doing it. First thing, you must get some rest. I'll send Miss Hawkins in to make you comfortable.
You know, I like Miss Hawkins. She's the first nurse I ever had.
She'll take very good care of you. I'm going now, Mary Ann. But I'll see you again this afternoon.
This afternoon? Well, what time is it?
Oh, it's almost morning. Goodbye, Mary Ann.
Goodbye.
Judy, what on earth are you doing here?
Oh, I came up after the rehearsal. I've been out here ever since helping Miss Hawkins.
You're a great girl, Judy.
Is Mary Ann all right?
Yes, she's all right, Judy. Only her heart's broken over Dan.
He ought to be shot.
I don't understand.
I don't know why you had to pull me off that train. It was my own...
And another thing, I don't want Mary Ann to know anything about it, Curly. Do you understand?
Why, Dan, what...
Why, Dr. Christian, what are you doing here?
I'm making a professional call, Dan.
But what... Oh, gee, Doc, I have a lot of things to explain to you. This is Curly, Mary Ann's brother.
Well, we just got back.
I was awfully sorry to leave you in the lurch tonight, but I know my part, Doc. I'll be all right even if I did miss the rehearsal. And, well, I just had to go.
Had to go where, then?
Had to go after Curly. Oh, gee, what a night. You see, Doc, I was coming home from rehearsal when I met some of the fellas at the hall. And they told me Curly was going off to Chicago with Megs. Well, Megs is no good American. So I think fast, and I know Mary Ann will be fit to be tied when she hears that. So I beat it all the way to the junction and just catch the train. And sure enough, there's Curly, the sap.
What's my own business?
Oh, keep quiet. You're not old enough to have any business. I had an awful time getting him to come back, Doc. Megs wasn't going to let him go at first, and I had to, well, argue a little.
Is that how you got that black eye?
Yeah, but you ought to see his. So then we got off at East River and hopped a freight.
Oh, that's where you were.
Yeah. I wanted to get him back without Mary Ann finding out about it. Say, Doc, how come you're here this time of night? There isn't anything wrong, is there? There isn't. Mary Ann, she...
No, no, there isn't anything wrong, Dan. Not anything at all.
Well, then what... Doc, you look awful funny. Has something happened? Dr. Christian, tell me.
Yes, something has happened. I'd like to be the first one to congratulate you, Dan. You're the father of a son.
What? I'm... You mean while I was away, I got a kid? Well, Mary Ann, she's...
Mary Ann is fine, Dan.
Come here.
Dan?
Mary Ann. Oh, gee, honey, I never dreamed. I had to go and get Curly for you, baby. Bring him back.
Get Curly? Is that where you were?
Yeah. I didn't mean to go away from you. I thought you wouldn't know. Oh, Mary Ann, I'm awful sorry.
It's all right now, Danny.
What the...
Danny. Dan, look. Here, I'll lift the blanket.
Well, I'll be... Oh.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
And then, Dad, Dr. Christian's got a job for you. With Mr. Meek. At the awning, Mr. Meek. At the awning work.
He has? Oh, gosh, Doc, a job.
With steady pay and a chance to work up. If you're good.
Oh, don't worry about me, Doc, ever again. I've found myself.
He's a fine boy, Dan. And a good American, too. Born on Washington's birthday. What are you going to name him?
Well, I got a name picked out, sort of, in my mind, but... Well, I don't know what Mary Ann will say about it.
I'll say anything you do, Dad.
Well, then, on account of his birthday being today and the pageant and everything, do you think it's all right if we call him George?
And the curtain comes down on our Dr. Christian drama starring Gene Hersholt in his most famous of all roles, the country doctor. Mr. Hersholt and the cast will be here to greet you in just a moment. Meanwhile, I have a word to say about the products that make this program possible. Next time your hands get rough and sore, you'll be glad you had the foresight to get a supply of Vaseline jelly for your medicine cabinet. For Vaseline jelly forms a protective film which helps keep out germs and dirt. It softens the irritated skin by supplementing the natural oils. Best of all, it promotes rapid healing. So just to be on the safe side in case of minor burns, cuts, or scratches, be sure you use Vaseline jelly. Pure enough for baby's skin, pure enough to eat. So look for the trademark Vaseline and ask your druggist to introduce you to Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. Pure Vaseline jelly is the base of all of them. The cast of tonight's play included Rosemary DeCamp as the popular Judy Price, secretary to Dr. Christian, Richard Quine in the role of Dan Smithers, Jerry Moore as Mayor Hewitt, Ann Morrison as Mary Ann Smithers, Florence Hallop as her friend May, Frank Beelan as Joe, Lester Jay as Curly, and our star, Gene Hersholt, as Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, what kind of story have you selected for us for next Tuesday night?
Next week, I think I'll tell you another story about Mara, Dick Foster's seeing eye dog. He's a beautiful dog and has brought freedom of action and peace of soul to our beautiful blind girl. I think the story will give you a real lift, and so I invite you all to listen again next week at this same hour. Until then, I'll say good night.
Don't fail to listen to Gene Hersholt's Dr. Christian story next week. It is called Puppy Love and is sure to give you a pleasant half hour. This is Arthur Gilmore bidding you good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.